All right, Flames at 5. We are underway live from the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge at the Scotiabank Saddledome. A big one, a fun one. The Penguins make their annual visit to Calgary, and who better to chew the fat with than Mr. Rick Ball, the play-by-play voice of the Calgary Flames on Sportsnet. How are you?
I just blew a button on my sleeve, so I'm in distress right now. This is a bad start. Reminds me of that old joke. Was it old Roddy Dangerfield joke? Got up this morning, picked up my briefcase, the handle fell off, put on a shirt, and the butt fell off. I'm afraid to go to the bathroom. Ding. Where's the rim shot? Come on, Pat. Thank you very much.
That's Matty Rose.
But it is an honor to be here, I must say, because I've had a question for you, Ryan, since last season, early on. So the now famous Jaromir Jagr meeting with the Traveling Jagrs.
That's right.
On Flames TV.
Yes.
Wound up as a photograph with our very own Ryan Leslie in the middle as the Master of Ceremonies in the Hockey News. And I'm looking at that and I go, that's Ryan Pinder as one of the Traveling Jagrs. It was like seeing Forrest Gump meet Elvis.
That Czech Jagr is a little too hammered. That's Pinder. I don't know that.
How did that happen?
So essentially, the Jagrs are just normal dudes that have been loving the career of Jaromir Jagr forever.
Did they adopt you as one of their own?
So we had them in studio to promote something, and sure enough, they extended the invite. And one year, I was sick as a dog, and I had to decline. And so the next year, Jagr signs late in the off season, I believe, a week before the season started, or days before.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, the invite's still out there. I'm like, well, gosh, I can't say no to this now.
Yeah, and it worked out.
Sure enough, I'm traveling as a 19-year-old or whatever it was, and I'm over in the Czech Republic, and at this market in Prague, I buy a Jagr and a Hasek jersey. I gave the Hasek one to a cute girl in a silly mistake that has not stood well against the test of time. But I kept the Jagr jersey, and I'm like, well, you guys don't need to give me a jersey. I can be Czech Jagr. Like, we don't have Czech Jagr. The white one. Amazing. So it was a match made in heaven.
And you wound up in the Hockey News.
Well, there
probably not the way you wanted to as a young man, but still remarkable nonetheless.
And it wasn't one of those. That's definitely. I didn't even realize that it happened. But
there you go.
I was a pinch-hitting Jagr.
Yeah. Well done.
This is your 5 for you, correct, in Calgary?
Yeah, fifth year.
Wow.
Came here in 14-15, and number 5, so it's exciting.
This season is an intriguing one.
I feel like
we don't know how this is going to end, but a lot of the moves the organization has made have put them in what feels like, I don't want to say win-now mode, but this is their window where they're expected to be competitive, and so the results of this year are going to be immensely important in terms of whether the decisions they've made have been right or wrong. And then the other thing is there's still some unfinished business. Like, they don't have a bloody goalie sign for next year that looks like an NHLer at this point. How have you seen the early returns so far?
Well, mixed, kind of like their record.
Yeah.
There are some very encouraging signs, though. This is one of the lowest scoring teams in the entire league last season. It's one of the highest scoring teams in the league this year. That's not a fluke. They went out and addressed those issues, even though James Neal hasn't chipped in offensively. He's a guy who's going to be 20. I guarantee you by the end of the season, he'll be in his usual wheelhouse, 20 to 25 okay. goals or more. That's my prediction. Lindholm's been a nice addition. They're producing more offense. As a team overall, it's been a conscious effort to play a little more offensive style. It's probably resulted in some breakdowns defensively on occasion, but it's been fun to watch. So that's been an effort that I think has been paying off in the terms of more goals. Only Chicago has more goals per game than Calgary does in the Western Conference right now. I think they're 6th in the league, if I'm not mistaken. That's a huge turnaround from last season, and it's reflected in the way they're playing. But they do have to address what's going on in their end of the rink. Goaltending's a big question mark. Mike Smith was so good for 2/3 of last season, gets hurt, and we all know what happened after that. And he's 36 years old. So, if he can deliver the A-plus type goaltending he had in the first half of last year before the injury consistently throughout the whole season, the Flames will be in really good shape. If you can't, you know what the old saying is, goaltending is 50% of the game. Unless you don't get it, that's 90%, right? So, if they get goaltending like they got out of Mike Smith before the injury, I think they'll be in pretty good shape. Because on paper, up and down the lineup, forward end and blue line, they are a better team than they were a year ago.
Let's stay right there. Convince me they're a better team on the blue line. I think my fear, and this isn't my opinion, but my fear they might only have one top pairing defenseman. Is that overstating how TJ Brody's inconsistencies have been?
It's way too early to tell. I thought Brody looked very good through the first four or five games, had a couple of tough outings, thought he was better against Montreal. I think that will pay off ultimately in my mind, because when he played his best hockey a few years ago, it was with Mark Giordano. Brody likes being on his offside. I think that pairing is going to be fine. You look at the progression of Rasmus Anderson this year into a bona fide National Hockey Leaguer. Yusuf Alamaki has surprised me in terms of how ready he is for the NHL, even though he's going to be a healthy scratch tonight. I love the way that kid plays, and he's going to be a star on this team for a long time. And when Mark Giordano retires, wherever that is, whenever that is, there's still lots of tread left on those tires. I don't want to push him out the door too soon, but I think you've got in the waiting right now, a few years down the road, their number one left side defenseman for sure, in my mind anyway, in Valimaki. And, you know, I like Hanifin a lot. He's still only 21 years old, and I think he and Hamonic, limited time, but in the preseason and the part of the one game they played together, looked pretty good. So we'll see how that looks tonight with Hamonic getting back in the lineup. You know, Dougie Hamilton is a very talented player. There's no doubt about it. You don't replace 17 goals in the blue line just like that. But I think in terms of depth overall and the fact that Michael Stone is playing a lot better this season, in my mind, top to bottom, they're a better blue line than they were a year ago, even though they don't have that guy like Hamilton who might score 17 goals.
Yeah, I felt that pairing. You could just ask them to do anything, they could do it. You go, hey, guys, go score a power play. Go, hey, guys, play the other team's top line all night. Hey, guys, you know, dominate possession, shots, scoring chances, whatever, at even strength, and they could do it. Haven't quite seen that yet. And maybe so you downgrade a touch on that pair, but there's no question that Anderson and Valimaki's contributions have been major silver linings early because, frankly, would they get a dozen games out of those two guys combined last year? And it was all Erasmus late in the season.
Yeah, and he looks miles ahead of where he was a year ago. I think, you know, he realizes that he belongs in the National Hockey League right now, that he's a bona fide NHL defenseman. I think he's in a little better shape this year, and I like what I've seen out of him. And like I said, I think Michael Stone has really found a groove. Last year was a bit up and down for him, and I think, you know, him on that third pairing with Alamaki, for the most part, they've been really good together. You know, you get more out of Stone. You get two young guys chipping in above probably what was expected, at least early in the season. And, you know, and you still have Mark Giordano as the anchor. I think they're pretty good back on the blue line.
The deal with Carolina, both teams loving the forwards they got. That's for sure. Ferland and Elias Lindholm have been filling the net at levels that, frankly, neither have really been on. I mean, both on a torrid pace. I'm sure things will normalize a bit, but both would be happy there. And Hanifin, we've seen elite feet and not near his ceiling yet, so you can see the trade-off there.
He's still a kid. Like, that's a, you know, it's easy to forget because he started playing at 18, he's 21 years old. I think the sky's the limit for him. So, you know, is he as good right now as Dougie Hamilton? No, but Hamilton's older. You know, project forward a few years when he's at the age that Hamilton is at right now or was at last season playing for the Flames, and I think he got a pretty good player.
Okay, so other acquisitions, you'd mentioned the slow start for James Neal. What have you seen, and what are your expectations? Because you did say he's going to get to 20.
Yeah, I just think he's one of those guys that won't do much, and then all of a sudden he'll get, you know, 7 goals in 5 games. He's that type of player, and I think that's what's going to happen. It's always tough, even for a veteran guy, and a guy who's moved from team to team, so it's not like a new dynamic for him changing teams and getting used to new teammates, but there's always an adjustment period. You know, and Lindholm's been such a great fit with Monahan and Gaudreau. You don't want to mess with that. And you've got the 3M line back together. And, you know, tonight against, you know, the deepest 1-2 punch at center ice in the entire National Hockey League, you don't want to mess with that. So, you know, what's he been doing? He's been playing on the third line. I think he's got some pretty good chemistry going with Sam Bennett. And, you know, and he's going to get some top. This is where I think it's going to start paying off for James Neal. It starts tonight playing on that top power play. And I think he'll start to find his groove and produce on the power play. And my expectation is, because the power play has struggled now for the last 6 games, that we're going to see him play a bigger role in that top unit and probably get some results. He's too consistent a scorer to not be able to do it. He's far from over the hill, and I think he'll produce at some point, just a matter of when it starts. And it could be tonight if he gets enough time with the man advantage.
Quick look at the data says not enough pucks are going in. He's shooting at 5%, which is unsustainably low. He is due to have more puck luck. That's fair. That's not a crazy observation. That's not way out there. It's stating the obvious. And the one thing that this year has really fascinated me is the change in coaches, because I don't know that systematically they're asking this club to play entirely different hockey, but the flexibility that this roster that Bill Peters gets to run has put him in some spots where he is had the opportunity to sit vets, and frankly, he's not afraid to do that. And
he's got more options than Glenn Gullison had, for
100%.
Sure.
100%. But he also doesn't mind pushing buttons.
Yep.
And I think Glenn would rather pat you on the back and build you up, whereas Peters might say, hey, you go watch for a night, and I want to watch you respond. Very different approaches to a similar issue, right?
And when you look at the guy who's waiting in the wings, and you go, well, it's such a big drop from the guy who might need to sit to him, maybe I better just try and build this guy up. And whereas Bill Peters has more depth and has the flexibility, not just game to game in terms of who sits and who plays, but within games in terms of shuffling his line combinations, yep. I think it's a little bit easier. You know, there's a criticism that Gullison was too stuck on the lines and not willing to make adjustments in game, and that may be fair, but you know, they just didn't have the kind of depth that they have right now to be able to do that. And we've seen early on Bill Peters not afraid, and it's worked at times. You look at that game in Colorado where they came back, you know, and he put the lines in the blender and it paid off. So you know, the other night in against the Rangers, he mixed up his defensive pairings and it paid off. You know, even though they won that game and were ahead 3-0 at one point, they were being outplayed by a wide margin. So you know, he's certainly not afraid to do it when he's got the horses to do it, and that's been a big factor in his ability to mix things up and put guys in and take guys out. And so far, his, you know, his instincts have been pretty good.
Yeah.
You look at the, you know, he sits down for a leak. You know, we all love Michael Frolik, but he comes back in the lineup and plays one of his best ever games as a Calgary Flame against the Boston Bruins last week. You know, so whatever his thinking was on some of the decisions he's made, for the most part, they seem to have worked.
And if there was a message sent to Brody in New York, he came back to that top pairing in Montreal, and as you noted, aside from one silly penalty, a much better night. So it's just, I find it fascinating because a lot of the guys you'll find at the top of the all-time wins in the NHL as coaches, I mean, there's some guys everyone loved, but there's a lot of guys that, hey, pushed buttons, got guys between guys' ears and knew what was best for them and didn't care if it was popular, to be fair. I think Bill might be more on that side of the
line. Well, what was the old line about Scotty Bowman? You hate him 364 days a year, and then the 365th day you get your Stanley Cup ring. You know, like, if it works, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, listen, at some point they are – and especially this era is a little different than it was back when Bowman was coaching. So you do, I think, need to be a little bit more, the ability at least to use more of a gentle touch, or at least figure out who responds to what, right? Mm-hmm. I think it used to be everybody just got treated the same way, and I'm going to kick you in the butt. I think coaches now, the best ones, like some guys getting kicked in the butt, they go into a shell. They mm-hmm. actually retreat. Some guys need it. Some guys need to be pushed. Other guys need a pat in the back. And figuring out which guys need what is half the battle in terms of coaching, not just in hockey, but in any sport. So, you know, but getting back to your overall point, you know, there's no doubt that Bill Peters is a different type of coach than Glenn Gullison in terms of how I think he's got a bit more of an edge to him. And you know, maybe this is what this team needed. I think they felt that Bob Hartley was that way and had kind of worn out his welcome. They went with a guy who was more of a player's coach. Now they've swung back the other way. Bill's probably somewhere in between. Listen, does it work or does it not work? You can't hide. There's no BSing your way through a hockey season. The results are up there on the scoreboard every night. The standings are on the internet every day. You can't baffle gab your way out of it. They are what they are, and we'll see how it works.
Yeah, no. Rick Ball joining us, the TV play-by-play voice of the Calgary Flames. Penguins in town. You have the pleasure of seeing both games every year that the Flames play against the Penguins. Here in Calgary, it's one.
I saw them for two rounds of the playoffs last year too, which was great.
That's right, of course.
Yeah, I did Pittsburgh, Philly, and Pittsburgh, Washington. So that was a lot of fun.
How fun is it tonight that you're looking forward to?
Yeah,
there's an atmosphere that comes with this team wherever they play in Canada.
You know, there's so much debate about Crosby or Connor McDavid, and you know, listen, I respect the heck out of Connor McDavid, but until he gets to the point in terms of resume that Crosby is, Crosby's still the king. Is McDavid maybe a better player talent wise right now at his age? Perhaps, but you know, last night they win. Crosby gets two nights ago, a spectacular goal in overtime. He's not ready to hand over that crown just yet. He's 5-0 head to head against McDavid, by the way, in his career, for what that's worth. So you look
at
him.
I just want Malkin to be on the other team for once in these damn matchups with the 5-0 mark. No, there are different parts of their career. We can't measure McDavid's resume
at age
30 to Crosby because he's not there yet.
And it's also a team sport. You know, so listen, I hate – they're fun to do. I don't hate them. They're fun to do. But how do you compare those two guys? They're both great players. And Connor McDavid is a great player. Sidney Crosby is a great player. We get a chance tonight to see him for the lone trip into Calgary, unless they meet in the Stanley Cup final.
That's what we this take season. That. That's fine.
Yeah. And Malkin, you know, and you look at Jake Guentzel. They've got some great young players. You know, Letang on the blue. I love this watching this team play. And, you know, they won two in a row for a reason. They had a chance last year. Washington finally knocked them off, shook that monkey off their backs. I would not be surprised at all to see the Pittsburgh Penguins right back at the top of the standings and pushing again for another Stanley Cup this year. They're just too good with too much experience.
Next three games for the Flames. Tonight, Pittsburgh, Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock start against Washington. Then they're off to Toronto for the first of a back-to-back that'll see them play the Sabres the next night. Next three games.
Pretty big.
Give me a prediction of any sort, be it net minding, be it a win-loss, or be it an emergence or a performance.
Flames win them all.
Okay,
by
very
five
good.
Goals. This is a Calgary station. Every game. I think Calgary comes and they did not play well, especially in Montreal. That was a really disappointing outing, and Matthew Tkachuk, I think, captured that. I'll be shocked if they are not fired up and playing 100% from the opening faceoff tonight against Pittsburgh. It's a tough turn, though, because you know, they go two games east. They play the Rangers of Montreal, fly all the way back here for two against Pittsburgh and Washington. Those are two very good teams, including the defending Stanley Cup champions on Saturday, and then all the way back east again for back-to-back against Toronto and Buffalo. So this is a really tough stretch of the schedule, just in terms of travel, let alone caliber of competition. But I think Calgary's going to be fired up and be jumping at the start of this one tonight.
My opinion only, the three best teams, 1-2 down the middle. They got the next three games.
There you go.
Going to be fun.
Got to beat the best.
Love it. Rick, always a pleasure. Have a great
Ryan.
Call tonight. And
my pleasure.
Thanks for coming in.